Okay, now that we've covered the fundamentals, let's get into the details. This is what a standard policy organization looks like. It's divided into parts, and the first part is liability. And every policy that complies with the Safety Responsibility Act has that as part of its coverage. The policy document itself may list coverages that are not actually part of the package because they haven't been purchased for some reason. But this is what the organization looks like in the standard policy, and most of the non-standard policies follow roughly the same outline. Now, let's talk about liability first. First question is, who does it cover? Well, it obviously covers the guy that bought the insurance. It also covers family members, people that live in the household and are related to the guy that bought the insurance. The policy defines who a family member is, and there's some variation between the policies, but not a lot. Generally, you'll see that a family member is someone who is related to the named insured by blood, marriage, or adoption and is living under the same household. Spouses are given special status under the insurance code that they're covered even if a divorce is pending and they're no longer living in the household. There are some disputes sometimes with a minor child who's going between households, and a person can actually be a member of two different households at the same time. The policy also covers what they call, what we call additional insureds, and these are people that are using the insured vehicle with the permission of the named insured. And permission is defined from the point of view of the user. So somebody may have taken a car, and this happens occasionally in our cases, and the owner says, no, I didn't give him permission. He just took my keys, and I didn't even know he was taking the car. But if the person who took the car reasonably believes that they had permission, then they're covered. Let's talk about what's covered. This is sort of a hot topic these days. Punitive damages, we sort of took for granted that they were covered under the liability portion of the auto policy unless they were specifically excluded. And for a lot of years, the Safeco policy and a few others specifically excluded punitive damages, and there wasn't much question that that exclusion was valid. But the question remained, are they covered if the exclusion isn't there, just as part of the liability coverage? We have a split of opinions on this question now, and there's no reconciling these opinions. The Mondragas case, I believe, is out of El Paso, and it says clearly yes. Farmers versus Zuniga is out of the San Antonio court, the fourth court, and they clearly say no. And they acknowledge that they're disagreeing with their El Paso brothers and sisters, but they say they just got it wrong and we got it right. Zuniga, of course, is the more recent one since it refers back to Mondragas. I don't know that this question has really been satisfactorily answered. We clearly know that you can cover punitive damages under a liability policy because that's the Fairfield Paving case. Whether it's going to be part of the coverage in the auto policy or not, I frankly don't know. Maybe we'll get some more clarification on down the road. Let's talk very briefly about commercial policies. I think some of our speakers will get into that in more detail later. But if you've got a big truck or any commercial vehicle, it can get complicated. First of all, CGL, which is commercial general liability policies, have a lot of variation in them. They're not all cookie cutter, and they're not regulated like our auto policies are by the Texas Department of Insurance and the insurance code. They are regulated somewhat, but not in the same degree. Tractor and trailers may have different policies if they're owned by different companies. The insurance on a trucking policy may cover certain activities and not others. And there may be contractual coverage for some of their customers. So if we get into that, then it's important to take a look at the policy itself because our coverage questions get a lot more complicated. So if we have to discover the policy, we're clearly entitled to it. The rules of discovery and the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure say as part of the disclosure, show us your insurance. And that's not just show us what the coverage is or just show us the deck sheet or give us a certificate of coverage. That's give us the policy. Indemnity and insuring agreements is what the rule says. There's been some case law, In re Dana's a Supreme Court case on this. It says you can't get discovery beyond the policy. This was an eroding policy on a asbestos case, and they wanted to know how much coverage was left. The court said under the circumstances of that case, they couldn't get it. I don't think that's a blanket rule, and I think in certain cases, if you can show the need, you probably can go beyond that.